Welcome to the healing meal. If you missed us, we were just worshipping. And it's hot. Thank you, God, for it. Ooh. Holy Spirit. How are we all this week? Everybody had a good week? I hope so. Welcome, welcome. Hey, I just wanted to read this. Love is. This is good. Ten characteristics of divine love. Love is patient under stress. Can I just put a disclaimer? I need to grow in all of these areas, but we're growing, and that's all that matters. Love is patient under stress. It's kind at all times. It's generous and not envious. It's humble and not self-promoting. It's never rude. It does not manipulate by using shame. It's not irritable or easily offended. It celebrates honesty, and it does not focus on what is flawed, and it is loyal to the end. I like that, loyal to the end, because we're going to come up against so many things, right, in this walk. And it's your loyalty, it's your faithfulness, right, to believe in what's already been said to you, what's been, you know, what message did you hear and what did you believe? And then holding on to that message and remaining faithful in it and steadfast in the heart of God. And we move toward our destiny, right? What's our destiny? Eternity in love, right? The only thing that lasts forever is love. Everything else fades away. Everything else is passing away. It's dying. But love remains forever. And who is love? God is love, okay? So those characteristics of his love, you know, they're how they love expresses itself. And I like that where it says, you know, love isn't offended. And there's a point, I think, where you can not be offended at things, but there's also, you know, there's a place where you come to where you have respect for what you allow to come into your life, you know, and that's loving yourself, isn't it? That's having love for yourself, respect for yourself, love for yourself, guarding your heart, like it says in Proverbs 4. I guard my heart. And I'm careful about what I allow to come into my heart. Okay, do I allow hate? Do I allow rudeness? Do I allow, dishonesty? Do I allow those traits to come into my heart? Because those traits aren't the divine characteristics of love, are they? They're the opposite. So I guard my heart from those things if I want to grow in love, which is eternal life. I want to grow in what's going to remain forever. I'd hate to get to heaven and not have grown in those areas, and everybody else is, you know, much more mature than I am. I would rather grow in that maturity now, and that's our life, to mature in the gospel, mature in love, mature in the characteristics of God. So when we spend eternity with the one who is forever and eternally perfect, we can relate to him. You know what I mean? You learn to relate to God now in your body now, in your temple. People might go off to church and they're spending their days in the pews or whatever, you know, religious thing you're into and not grow at all ever in love. They might actually know all the steps to do, all the traditions you need to carry out, and they might carry that on for generations but have never had their heart literally transformed by love. Because it's not about an external or an outward walk. It's an internal walk. It's an internal transformation that happens from within. Okay, so the ark, your heart, is an ark. You know, in the Old Testament, a lot of animals were on the ark, right? In the New Testament, in the New Covenant, Jesus is on the ark. Okay, Christ lives on the ark. No other animal, no other thing is on the ark except God. He's the heart garden of God. In the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, it was the Garden of Eden. You know, it's all types and shadows. The Old Testament is a type and shadow of what was to come. And it's all fulfilled within Jesus. Okay, but that new covenant reality is the spiritual reality of what was lived out in the Old Testament, which was, you know, it's symbolic of what happens now. This is a spiritual reality. Your heart is the garden of God. Your heart is the ark of God. You carry Jesus wherever you go. That's the second coming of Christ, coming through his people. And there's no choosing, oh, you're better, or because you've got better talents, or you pray more, or you do this, or you do that. No, everybody, he's no respecter of persons, but the eyes of God look to and fro across the earth, looking for a heart that's seeking him. So it doesn't matter if you're seeking him in any of your religions. It doesn't matter whatever religion it is. He doesn't care. He's no respecter of persons. I mean, I came out of the occult, for God's sakes. You know what I mean? I was worshipping animals. I was worshipping elephants. I was worshipping anything that they said to worship, just because I was looking and seeking God. But his eyes were on me because I wanted him and he knew it. But I was deceived and I didn't know it, but he did. Do you know what I mean? I was deceived. I couldn't see, but he could. And my heart intention was correct. My heart was right. My heart wanted the truth. Okay, I was seeking truth. I was seeking meaning. We're seeking meaning for life. There's got to be more to this reality, right? Otherwise, it's a waste of time. What do you come here? You're not coming here to be enslaved in the Babylonian, Egyptian pyramid system of the world under principalities and rulers of wickedness and darkness who oppress you and keep you trapped in a system that only serves 1% of the elite of the world. You know, Jesus came as a savior to set us free from evil principalities and powers, and some of those people in those higher positions are controlled by those rulers of wickedness and darkness. There are other people who are in positions who are controlled by the power and the ruler of heaven. You're one of the other, right? And Judas was the treasurer. He's the accuser. He was the one that betrayed Jesus, right? Jesus is humble. He's lowly in spirit, lowly in heart. He walked humbly through the earth. They murdered him. He said, "I'm your Lord," to the Israelites, didn't he? In the Old Testament, he says he was the Old Testament, the Old Covenant was the Israelites were worshipping Lord Yahweh, Lord, Lord. You know, they'll go and pray to a war. They're fighting continuously because they want to fight whose God's whose, right? What God's right and what God's right. There's only one God, one creator of all of heaven and earth, and religion just tries to divide and tell you what you can, and then everyone fights against each other, where the elites sit on top of the pyramid and they're not fighting against who's God's who. They just, as long as you're fighting, they don't care what you're doing. They don't care who you believe in, as long as you don't get to the top. And the only way that people who are in slavery get set free is if they're saved out of it. And some people will promise you the world and promise you to come in. You'll never get to the top. This world is not of it. We're not of the world. We're set apart. We're pulled out of the world. And we go back into the world to preach the gospel. You go back into the world, which means you have had to have come out of the world first. And then be spiritually transformed and spiritually illuminated and awakened to the truth. And then you can see clearly. And then you can see and you know. And you're separated and you can see the difference. You can see what the deception is. Then you're strong enough to go back into the world and preach the truth. Not fakeness, not Sunday sitting on pews, not paying a 10% tithe to try to get your sin washed from you. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is your connection and your relationship with God inside of your spirit, your heart, your transformation. So the more you drink, the stronger you get in the spirit, the more you see, the better you understand. The spirit opens up those doors for you. And you come in through those doors and you're set free. But you're not under the slavery system of the world anymore. The Savior is here to save people out of that system. Okay, why do you think the Savior is so heavily persecuted? Why do you even think that the Savior in the Christian churches is not preached the right way? It's watered down so you don't get the power. You don't get the power or the revelation of the extent of the freedom that you're meant to walk in. Because if you received that freedom completely, you would be completely free and set free from all religion, including Christianity. And you would walk as a son and daughter of God. You would be a leader in your region, leading in, walking in the heart of God, carrying Him wherever you go, preaching and speaking your word, setting people free in all areas, regardless. You'll be persecuted, you'll be hated, they'll spit on you, they'll try to put you on a cross, they'll do all types of things to you, but that's the gospel. That's the truth. It isn't happy, happy every single day. There's a cup of suffering and a cup of joy, and Jesus drank both. He was incredibly joyful. He was completely and always utterly in the presence of God, but He suffered, and we learn through our suffering. So your heart, guard your heart. It says in Proverbs, Solomon, we guard our heart. What do we allow inside of our hearts? Whose words do we eat? Whose words do we receive? You know, do we watch Channel 9 and Channel 10 and Channel 7 news for 7 hours a day and allow their doctrines and their belief systems to feed our minds and to determine the walk that we live? Do we listen to hate? Do we listen to love, right? Because love's the only thing that remains. Love corrects and it tells you the truth. It doesn't oppress you. And it doesn't manipulate you and it doesn't force you. Love humbly waits patiently. Regardless of your choices, regardless of what you're doing, it will patiently wait until you seek it. And when you seek it with humbly with your heart, you want the truth. You want love. Love will come into you. And then you will learn and then you'll be trained and then you'll be discipled in the Spirit, in the wine of God. Right, everything that is spirit, every word is spirit, is wine. You have the wine of God. Your body is filled with water and Jesus turns it into wine, which means you become a spirit being. Now your words are spirit words and when they're spoken, they're performed. And it transformed the earth. In the beginning was the Word and the Word was God and the Word was with God, right? In the beginning was the Word. He spoke the Word became flesh, the Word came and dwelt within us, the Word came and took residence inside of your bodies. So now that spiritual Word that has been planted inside of your heart because you've received the good message of the gospel, which is the truth, now that Word grows up and the Father waters it. He tends to His garden. He pours out His Spirit on your heart and the seeds that have been planted in your heart of truth will now grow up and they will mature and they'll bring you into maturity and you can speak face to face like God, like Moses, with God, like Moses. Or in the Hebrew it says mouth to mouth. Face to face with God is the encounter Moses had on the mountain where he got the law of God. And when you speak face to face with God, the law is written on your heart. The Word becomes alive. He says, I'm going to put the laws now on their hearts. They don't have to know it all through their minds. I want their minds free from trying to get the knowledge out here. And what do you think knowledge is so perverted for? Why has knowledge been so perverted? Because Satan knows that knowledge is the only thing that will carry on. Now, knowledge, we will always continuously through eternity be learning about God, His mercies, and how we will never understand it all here. We see in part, we know in part, and He gives us His Spirit so we grow. We will never grow to full maturity here, but His love is perfect and He is fully mature and He does the job inside of us. We don't do it from out here. He does it. It's the Spirit of revelation that comes up through our bodies and it reveals to us the truth. You just got to agree with it. The minute you agree with it, you come into a contract and say, yeah, I want the truth. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be tormented. I'm not going to be manipulated or controlled by outside forces. I'm going to agree with the truth and let the truth rise up in me. So be it. Okay, so guard your heart, which is the ark of God, okay? That's the ark. It's the harp of David. It's the garden of God. It's the ark of the new covenant. And on that ark, we carry the law of God. And through that, you guard it. You guard your heart, which means what? Guarding your heart means I watch my heart. I'm a watcher of my heart. Well, of course, you're going to watch the ark. I mean, if you treasure God, that's where he goes, store up your treasures. Your treasures are stored up in heaven. Where's heaven? The kingdom of God is within, it says. Within where? In your tummy? In your heart. Everything is in your heart. Take the heart out, you're dead. Heart is life. Okay, you've got to get spiritual and stop being carnal so you can actually catch on to what's going on in the world right now. It's a spiritual transformation. It's a spiritual coming of the Lord inside of your body. Okay, so you take that wherever you go. The ark of God, you guard it. You watch what comes in. You are a watcher of your own heart. So you're that ark of God. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. You know, it's like that's where all the maturity happens. That's where the developing happens. So it's no more competition, no more jealousy, no more envy of what others have and what you don't. I mean, it's just your heart and your relationship with God. And you drink enough for that to grow up. I mean, the seeds go in, but you and the Father waters it. How much do you eat? Right? How much are you taking into your heart? Is it filled? You know, no, we don't want any mixed seed. We just want the seed of the word that grows up and it matures. Right? And then when the harvest comes, it's a harvest of righteousness, of good fruit. Right? Of good fruit. All right. So we're guarding our heart. Whew, okay. Okay. So guard your heart. Why? Because out of your heart flow the issues of life. Okay? Or out of your heart, your life is directed. Or your heart directs the direction of your life. So whatever is in your heart is what's going to control your life. So we don't have any animals on our ark. We don't have any other words on our heart. We've stored up the treasure inside of our heart, right? Our treasure chest. We've opened up the treasure chest of God. We've said, come in, King of Glory. The King of Glory has come in. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and let the King of Glory come in. Now he's come in. Now we open it up and we let the King of Glory come out with our spirit-filled life, our spirit-filled words, right? And that's how you change the world. That's how you transform it. By your continuous feasting and drinking and eating on the Word of God, continuous feasting and eating and drinking in the revelation of the bread from heaven. He says the bread comes down from heaven, fresh manna every day. That is revelation. So every day when you wake up, you know, the Lord will fill your mind with thoughts of revelation and you will get those revelations. What do you do with them? Do you sow them in and feed the body? Or do you just keep them for yourself? You know, we feed it. We feast on the word. We get the revelation. We're drinking the wine. We're filling ourselves, continuously staying full like the wise virgins, filled with the wine and the bread of God, continuously full and overflowing. My cup overflows. Yeah? My cup overflows with love, with joy, with kindness, with peace, because it's ever growing and ever transforming. You know? We're transforming. Our heart is being transformed. And as our heart is transformed, we're molded and created into the image of God, and we continue to walk in that stuff. Amen? Amen. So the knowledge of God, he says, fill me with the knowledge of God, Lord. Fill me with the knowledge of God. Fill me with the knowledge. Fill them with the knowledge of God, because that's all that that's the only knowledge you want. That's the only knowledge that's relevant, is the knowledge of God inside of your heart. The knowledge of the glory, he says in Habakkuk. The knowledge of the glory will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea, right? The knowledge of the glory of God. So it's all about the knowledge of the glory. No other knowledge. It's the glory. Who's the glory? The King of Glory. He is the glory, the Kabod, the Shekinah, the burning, brilliant glory light burning through our spirits and our hearts. And our flesh covers it, but that light comes out. That Shekinah that burning brilliant light of God burns out and comes through our flesh out into the earth. That's how you heal the sick. That's how you deliver people from demons and drive out demons, by the word of God and the spirit of God. The two of them. We need both. You need both. There's no good just filling your head with all Bible verses and having no spirit or power or revelation on it. Because if you don't have any revelation on scripture, you're just a devil. You're not going to give any information to anybody that's going to save them or help them grow or build them up. You're just going to put a law on top of them, and then they're oppressed and feel like they can never get out, like the Jewish Israelites did, right? Like the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, right? They just said, this is what you need to do, right? And so everybody's trying to fulfill this law or to please God, because everybody wants God. The whole world wants God. Most of them don't know it. And what they've seen of God, they just don't understand that that's not God at all. God is a spirit. He isn't about putting a law or a heavy. He's like, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. His yoke is easy. He came and gave us a simple gospel. And it, what is it? It's offensive to the Jews. Is that it? And a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greek mind, because it's the cross and he did it. So he, not only the Lord Yahweh, who they all worshipped in the old covenant, came inside of a body and said, I'm him. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me, I am God. I'm in the body and here I am. And they're like, no, because in their minds they had it built up of what they expected him to be. And that is their own perspective. That is their own personalities coming through, because they thought themselves high and mighty and above everybody. They thought that that's what God's like. They tried to make everybody else feel like that's how God has to be, right? He's high and mighty and he sits up there and, you know, he's better than everybody else. I mean, he knows he is, but he doesn't act that way and he doesn't expect anyone to be that way. He came lowly and humble in a body where he was despised, where he was born in a manger. He's showing humanity what it means to be humble. He's showing everybody what it means to be like God. It's a servant of all. It gets under the people and it lifts the people up. It never takes the stage. It never tries to put a heavy, oppressive yoke on people so they have to fulfill a law so they can get free. They don't have to jump through any hoops to get to God. They don't have to perform any rituals to get any more spiritual power. That's what the demon does. Okay? They don't have to do any type of chanting. They don't have to give any offering of external fruit. The only offering we give God is our heart. He says, what is the greatest commandment? Love the God, love thy Lord with all your heart, mind and soul and strength. Right? Love the Lord your God. You love him by giving him your heart. Then he pours into you who he is. Who is he? He is love. Why aren't we loving in the world? Why do people struggle with love? Why are people hateful and angry and envious? And why has that increased? It has increased because they've removed love out of it and they've given you law, which is religion. Every religion, I don't care what religion, it's all the same. It's bull. It's a law and it's oppressive and it puts a heavy yoke on you and it tries to tell you how you have to behave. But inside, you know you're not performing like that anyway, how you're meant to be. It's just an outside cover, right? Why? Because it's like sheep. We're all sheep, right? And we all follow the pack. And you've got a few little people that are leaders that are on TV and everyone tries to do, or the one leader that wants to sit up in front of everybody and say, this is how we should be. And so everyone tries to perform. It's a spirit of performance, a spirit of competition. Do you know what that says in the Bible? It's immaturity. It's an immature child, a baby who hasn't been grown up. All they've been given is a little bit of milk. They've got no meat so they can chew on it and actually develop. They've kept them babies. And they purposely keep you babies because if you mature and you grow up and you get a hold of what I'm saying today, you will come out of that system and you'll be completely set free. You won't be fearful anymore. You won't be under any law or doctrine. Against feasting and eating, there is no law, the Bible says. What's feasting and eating? Eating the meat and drinking the wine and getting strong and bold in the spirit. Knowing who you are in your identity, not being scared of not fulfilling any type of traditions or rituals. You tell them where to go and you don't care who they are. You have respect and honor for God and God alone in authority, in love. He's love. He is love. But people have been put under this oppression and this law, this yoke. You know, and what did Jesus do when he came? He came and he flipped the tables because he knew it was about the money. They kept people like that because it's about the money. Because if people get a hold and they actually get the meat and they mature, they will no longer need to sit in pews drinking milk from a preacher on a stage. They will have the revelation of who they are. They will be fully revealed as sons and daughters of the living God. Children of God, children of promise, children of Abraham. Right? He made a covenant with Abraham. Before he gave the law to Moses, he made a covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham and he said, I'm going to make you a father of many. He was 100 years old. And he said, I'm going to make you a father of many. He was talking about spiritual children. Anybody who says they're from Abraham, a descendant of Abraham, which means humanity, everybody. Doesn't matter what religion, everybody descends from Abraham. And then what happened? They try to put religion in there to block you, to block you, to block you, to block you. Everywhere you turn, there's a distraction. Everywhere you turn, there's a blockage to try to keep you in a failed lawful system. Children of Abraham, he made a covenant with Abraham and there wasn't even a Bible back then. So there's not about reading the Bible or reading any type of scriptures, because I know every religion has it, to make sure that you're part of something. That's your own insecurity and your immaturity wanting to be a part of, to feel connected, because God's not enough for you. You need everybody else to tell you and affirm that you're going to be okay. That's people pleasing, seeking approval from others. That's your eyes on people. He says to keep your eyes on Jesus, okay? It says in Hebrews, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Your eyes are on Jesus and Jesus alone, which means inside of your heart is turned to God, only God. And he fills you with revelation and he's going to call you out. He's going to make you walk in places that you don't want to walk. And he's going to tell you to go and do things and say things that nobody else is going to do. Just like the prophets in the Old Testament. Just like Jesus did. He was faithful and he was obedient to the voice of his Father. He was going to that cross and he knew that what they were going to do to him. But he knew that was his destiny. So regardless of any fear, he did it anyway. All the prophets of old did the same thing. And that's your destiny. That's every single child of Abraham's destiny, to come in and be the children of God instead of allowing four people on the top of the pyramid to rule them and be slaves forever and then go to hell. I mean, that's the whole point, right? Satan is crafty and is a deceiver. And he uses intimidation. He uses fear. He never comes at love and he sure as hell doesn't correct you. Because if he corrects in love, like the gospel says, Paul says, he says, I'm a real father. I correct you in love. I'm not a babysitter. I'm not like all those other babysitters you have, right? We have Bible colleges on every corner. We have people that go in and get a ministry degree, but they never correct you in love. That, you know, there's no revelation of how important it is to correct. And how to repent, which means turn from your old thinking. Turn from all your old belief systems. Everything that's been handed down the generations, wipe it. Turn your heart to God. It doesn't matter. Don't turn it to your dad. Don't turn it to your family. Don't turn it to your neighbors or your friends or to anyone. Turn your heart and your eyes upon the Lord and he will give you, he will pour himself into you, right? And as he pours himself into you, you're pouring yourself back into him and you're receiving the communication from heaven. You're getting the words of God because of the Holy Spirit Okay, Jesus made it possible by being the mediator. It's all the same God, just manifested in three people. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because he can do that because he's God. He's supernatural. You know, but our mind, the Greek mind, wants to work it all out and get doctorate degrees and PhDs in how to understand everything. But that wisdom is futile. That knowledge doesn't last. Only the knowledge of the glory is important. You know? And once you have the Spirit of God, everything comes alive because it's life. You know, so nothing's wasted. But until that Spirit is made manifest through your entire being, everything's just dead knowledge and it does nothing for you. You don't know how to apply the knowledge you're learning. They're filling the kids' heads in school with all this knowledge, but the kids don't know how to apply anything because they're not receiving, they've got no spirit life inside of them, so it doesn't make any sense. You know, and so everything they're receiving, they're just head knowledge, head knowledge, head knowledge. Head knowledge doesn't do anything for the ark of God. It's the covenant, the glory of God. It lives inside of you. It's the ark. And that's what transforms. That's what gets people alive. That's what sets people free. That's what awakens their souls to the reality of who they are. Because that's all about, that's all it is. Who are you? A son and daughter of the living God. Son of God. Sons of God. King of kings. Lord of lords, it says in Revelation. He's the Lord. You're meant to be one with Jesus. He goes, I came so that they can have life, which means humanity was dead. Because we came, we all fell from Adam. But there's none of this gender stuff in the spirit. Okay, so we came out of the rib. The woman came out of Adam. But then from there on in, every man came out of a woman. So there's none of this hierarchical man-woman separation. It's all duality. It's all separation to try to keep you trapped in your mind. But if you can get free from that by letting his glory pierce your minds and believing the word of God, you will understand the spiritual nature of Jesus or the spiritual nature of God himself. Because he's spirit. He's not like us. He's not carnal. He's not human like us. His thoughts are from above. They're not below. His ways are higher than our ways. He's got better and bigger plans. If we yield to the spirit that's in us and just say yes, he will reveal to us everything we need. But we want to dictate to him what he should be doing. Well, that doesn't fit my theology, right? That doesn't fit my theology, so I'm not going to accept it. And he's like, that's okay. I'm not going to force myself on you either. You know, because he's humble. He gives you the choice to yield. To yield to him, to grow up mature, and to mature. To come out of that elementary teaching. Okay, we've got faith. We understand by faith we're saved. Cool. Now what? We don't spend 20 years sitting in a church trying to get more of God from out here. He's already come into us and now he says, Father, give them the glory, right? That's what he says. I want them to have the glory that I have with you. So give them exactly the same covenant that me and you have. Give them exactly the same power, the same anointing, the same understanding, the same wisdom, the same knowledge. The same fear of the Lord, the same spirit of the Lord. It's exactly the same thing that Jesus walked in, you're meant to be walking in on the earth. So you walk in it because you've got it. Now you just grow it up and the Father will water you. He will continue to water you and bring you into maturity. And Paul says, how I cry because, you know, I want to see you people come into maturity, or to see Christ developed in you, right? That maturity. It's not about do's and don'ts, wrongs or not wrongs, and who's right and who's not right. It's about just growing spiritually and maturing and walking in the power and having the wisdom of the ages. And you're not of the world, so it doesn't matter what's going on out the world. If they want to play their, you know, their banking game systems, if they want to play their war games, it doesn't matter. All their political, you know, it's the seed of Herod, the political and the seed of the Pharisees. So who wants to have the right religion and who wants to be the best politician and rule governmental authority? It says in Isaiah, I've placed the government upon Jesus' shoulders. So it's a spiritual governing, okay? We steer the ship from the spirit. We steer the direction of humanity spiritually. We spiritually steer humanity into eternity by the Spirit of God, not by all our doctrines, not by all our theology, not by our university degrees, not by how much we feed into our brains. That's all been interpreted by man who is fallen. We only direct by the Spirit of God who's come into our body, and he's given us the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom. And now by that spirit, we grow up and we navigate life through the spirit. And some will go on and they'll pastor the sheep of Israel. Who's the sheep of Israel? Israel is the sons and daughters of God. It's not Israel in the natural, you know, it's you. Everybody in humanity. It's a spiritual interpretation. But they're all fighting in the natural, trying to prove who's right in the natural, and they're completely missing the spiritual because they're trying to work it out in their brains instead of getting in the ark and letting the ark of God govern their lives. And the more that he governs you, the more you govern the world by the Spirit. And it's, how do you rule? You rule by love. You rule by love because love overcomes, love triumphs fear and hate, and mercy triumphs judgment, right? He's merciful, and you see the mercy of God because you see how much deception you come out of. We've all come out of deception. I mean, everybody has to come out of religion. Every person on earth has to come out of religion, and the worst of the Christians. Why? Because they think they know. They've got the right God, they've got the right spirit, and they've got the right Jesus, but they're still trying to get more from the outside. They're still thinking, you know, we have to do this and we have to do that in order to be... They're still not walking in their full authority. They're still only on milk. Millions and millions. Because they're scared of the laws that have been placed on, because there's still some in there. Let's give them a little bit of truth, but some law. And if you do that, you keep them still in oppression, which keeps them immature. And immaturity doesn't do anything for the world. You don't see the children building the world, but you do see slaves. It's the slaves who are building for the big elite. And everybody has to come out of that mindset. Who's brave enough and bold enough to actually drop what they're doing and turn and follow an invisible God? Truly, with all your heart, all your mind, drop everything you're doing and say, oh, I'm just going to follow you by faith. Let's see. I mean, everything else is crap. Let's give it a whirl. I mean, if it doesn't work, you can always go back to Satan. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? You can always go back to Babylon. You can always go back to Egypt if that's what you feel like doing. If it doesn't ever work out for you in the kingdom, you got to try it, right? Holy Spirit, I'm so hot. All right, anyway. So it's the maturity coming up in the Spirit and walking by the Spirit, walking by faith and allowing the Spirit to dictate the issues of your heart. God's come into your heart. Now he directs your heart. No man, no TV idiot box, no Facebook posts, right? I think you can even chuck out most of your books, you know? I mean, there's one book, a historical book, Read the Word of God. And I love the Passion Translation because the Passion Translation is interpreted in a way where you can get the revelation of his love, you know? Because people need love. But you can't learn love without the Spirit of God. That's why there's so much hate in religion, because God's not in it. He's not in it. He doesn't have a bar of it. Hate's not in him. He can't hate. I mean, do you think God can do hateful and detestable acts to people that hurt? Well, you know, no. He's love, and his nature's about love. And once you say, I want that, he pours that into you, and now you're filled with the love of God, which means now you're filled with love, which means now you know how you can now learn how to love because you're capable of it. prior to having that poured into you, you're not capable of loving. That's why we, you know, we struggle, you know, and we grow in that love, you know. It's a, you know, but there is a deliverance that happens like that when he comes in and he pours that love into you. And you're set free from trying to please everybody and everything. And now your hearts and your affections are set on him. And you only want that, you know. And you get very, very bold and you walk through life knowing very well that nothing's going to take you out or kill you unless God says. Do you know? You actually believe God. You don't believe other people. You believe God. You know, and when he calls you to something, you're not dying until that work is completed. And all of hell can break out. Anything can happen around you, but nothing's going to harm you. Nothing can hurt you because you're under and protected by the cloud, right? You're under and protected by the wings of God, right? Angel, Father God, the angel of the Lord. Continuously protected because you've come into an agreement. You've come under that contract with the highest name in heaven. You've come into agreement. Nothing can hurt you or take you out. It can only use fear and intimidation to try to trick you out of the message that you originally believed. And that's why they remove the message from everywhere. Because if they, and that's why he says, preach the gospel. What's the gospel? That you're saved by faith in Jesus. So you don't have to worry about it no more. It's all good. No more fear of hell. No more trying to hopefully I do the right thing or I have to look good on the outside and hide all my secret sin on the inside and really struggle with it. No, he comes and he delivers you from that power of sin and you're no longer under the power of sin, but now you're under the power of God. And it's an instantaneous thing. But if they gave you that power of God, that means they're gonna you're going to be removed from the power of sin and they can't control you anymore. And then you just, you know, and then you kind of like put a big damper on their whole plan to control people. This isn't new. I mean, humanity's been doing the same thing over and over and over, but this generation are the generation that set the people free. We set the captives free. We set the people free with the truth. And we can do it because God has made it possible now. I mean, look at the technology. Look what we have. You don't have to go anywhere anymore. You know, there's no more fear. You can be set free from watching The Healing Mill on YouTube. Amen? Amen. All right, so that's it. Do you want to say anything else? Have you got any words of wisdom for the people on the camera? Do you want to tell anyone? Just that we're going to still recording. You got any words for the people? Mom. Hang on, wait, tell me in a minute. We're recording. They can all see you.
Mom.
Hang on, I know. Do you want to say a prayer for them? Let's pray. What? They can all hear you. They're watching you.
Mom.
Yep.
First. When I go in the bathroom, I just think I got blood in my nose.
Oh, because you picked it.
Yeah,
that's okay. All right, say bye, everybody.
Bye.
Say bless you. Just come up to pick a nose. All right. That's it. We're on fire. Oh, so God bless you guys. That's it. If you want to partner with us at rawstreetministries.com or rawstreet.com. We literally get no support and I'm just, you know, we need a little bit of help because I have a few expenses. They're not that much because we do it this way. So we don't have all the overheads and the costs of running a big ministry that relies on the congregation to give me all of their wages. We just need a little bit of support to pay for internet connections and, you know, websites and all that type of stuff. So a little bit of support would be good. And then that way I can stop using my own money to support this ministry. And other than that, I think that's all I need. So RealStreetMinistries.com. Be filled with the knowledge of God. Be filled with revelation, power, and the Spirit of God. And let him just direct your heart. Let him direct your steps. And you follow the lead of the Spirit. And you don't follow the lead of these fallen men who try to keep you in captivity and slavery. And you will be completely set free from the system and the world. And the more that you come out of that, which is an instantaneous thing, right? What happened when they took the, you know, the chariots all got washed with the water, they get flooded out, okay? All the enemies of God are flooded and they're removed and God will lead you through. He will take you through to the promised land easily, easily. If you're just bold enough like who? Moses, who just listened to God. I mean, Moses could have had it good. Moses could have had it good. I mean, he grew up in Egypt. He had all the wisdom of Egypt. He had all the knowledge of Egypt, and he knew how to run things. He had an inheritance in Egypt. There was an absolute inheritance for Moses in Egypt, right? He could have just done that. But he was obedient to God and to his people. He's seen that his people were in slavery, and he wanted to go back in, and he wanted them set free. Now, he killed somebody, and so he had that sin consciousness as well, but God set him free from that, just the same way as us, okay? Moses wasn't a perfect man. I mean, he was an Egyptian, for God's sakes, right? But he had an inheritance. He could have stayed there and had that inheritance, or he could, and he went, but when he went back and he's seen that his people were in slavery and his people were being hurt, which is humanity, but in the Bible it's Hebrews, but in the New Testament it's humanity. He went back in to set them free, and he was a murderer. He killed a man. He killed a man. So it doesn't matter. God still used him and put him there to lead people out of slavery, right? And God will lead you through the Red Sea and set you free as well. I mean, you'll be a Moses. You'll take people through the Red Sea, and you will lead them out of the pyramid systems of the world. You'll lead them out of all these elite systems that are set up to keep people in bondage and slavery, and more importantly, to do the same thing to your children. Right? While you slave away to pay off their mortgages and slave away, you know, while they own everything, we just own a little bit. It wasn't meant to be that way, and it never will be that way anymore. The more that you wake up and come into the inheritance of God, because all your wealth is stored up in the kingdom. All your treasures and your rewards are in heaven. Okay? We're not of this world. We don't care about any of this stuff. All we care about is truth and love and freedom. Because that's where the wealth of the kingdom is. Amen. So God bless you guys, and I'll